on them. You will turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. Like several others I know that preach, sometimes I'm like, this is it. God's going to save somebody today. I have that hope. If he's pleased, he will. If I didn't think so, what am I doing? Matthew 13. We'll try something a little different today. Let's see if it works. I think it will. Here in Matthew 13, the Lord gives us a parable of the sower about the four types of ground. We looked at that together out of Mark back in 2019. I went and looked it up. Did you know that? It's been a while, hasn't it? And he says in verse 9, Matthew 13:9, he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." All to find an ear that wanted to hear something. Verse 10 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Kingdom of heaven. "But to them it's not given." To those who don't see. Let me say this accurately. I chose my words very carefully. Those who won't see. Those who won't hear. It's not given to them. It's not given to them. Those that used to hear. It's not given to them. They never did hear. If they had heard, if they knew the gospel, they could never go to something else. They could never leave it. God's worked in them. They're his forever. I can't get off track. I gotta go. Then verse 15, it says, "The people's hearts wax gross. They're fatting themselves. They don't need to hear." I said this last week, I'll say it again. "They don't need to hear because of all their ability and all their study and all their diligence. And I read this commentary and that commentary and Brother Henry and Brother this and Spurgeon and this and that and this. And the preaching just happens to be something that's just a little bit add-on and incidental. Oh, that's nice. It goes along good with all the stuff I'm doing." And they could take it or leave it. That's because their hearts wax gross. And it is gross in our modern vernacular. It's wax gross, and their ears, they're dull of hearing. It's just the same old thing. And look what it says next in verse 15. Look at it. Matthew 13, verse 15. "And their eyes have closed." How many times I've closed my eyes to his word? How many times I've closed my ears to his preachers? Think about anything else. Make time go by quicker. How many times I've dozed off? Oh, their eyes closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand, because they're being given knowledge and understanding, right? With their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But he speaks to those that he's telling these parables to. He said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And here in this chapter, our master goes on to explain the parable of the sower. He gave a sower, and he said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." He threw the dynamite. So often after services, everything that God's doing, I try not to do too much or explain too much. Or if people ask questions after, you can undo everything that God just did. You know what I'm saying? You'll muddy up everything the Lord's just doing. Leave it alone. Wait. Wait. I've seen it happen recently. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. He explains the parable of the sower because these are his people that have ears to hear, and he loves them and he's patient with them. And in verse 24, he says that the kingdom of heaven's like the good seed sown in the field, but then these weeds are sown by somebody's enemy. And he gives instruction. He said, "Let them grow up together. Let them grow up." I know the difference between a dandelion and a stalk of corn. And he says, "Leave it alone. Just leave it alone." He's put it there. He'll handle it. Verse 31, he said, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed." He keeps speaking about this kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. I'm interested to know what God says about his kingdom. Are you? Are you interested? Kingdom of heaven's like a grain of mustard seed. Are your eyes set on things above? Can we keep our eyes on it for a little bit? I'm going to do everything I can to keep it under 30 minutes. I got to, so y'all can have a break in between. Then verse 33. Another parable he spake unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. And he goes on, he explains the parable of the weeds. And here in verse 44. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Who's speaking? The master's speaking. What's been the subject of these parables in this chapter? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, isn't it? What else has been the subject? His work of giving his people the gospel. Everyone's parables. It's his work of him saving his people through the preaching of the gospel to God's people. That's an unmeasurable treasure. It's an unspeakable gift, as Paul said. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in an old, ugly, sinful clay pot that ain't nothing. Knows it ain't nothing. And he puts that treasure in them. Why? That the excellency of the power. You know how much studying I did? It don't matter. I ain't lazy. I might be dim-witted. That ain't my fault. If I'm lazy, it's all my fault. That don't matter. There's diligence, but that don't matter. The power may be of God and not of us. I dreamed a believer's spouse died, and they called me and told me, they said, my spouse died. And I woke up, I was kind of like going to sleep and waking back up, and I woke up bawling, and I said, I gave it all I had. I tried. I know God has to do it, but I tried. He wasn't pleased to give the power. Power's of him. But it's hid in the earth, isn't it? It's given to us in earth vessels. We don't hide it. It's him speaking, what he's doing. Who hides the treasure? The man did. The man hid the treasure, didn't he? That's who's doing the work. I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And he's revealed them unto babes. Are we babes in Christ? Are we elders? Are we grown up? Queen Victoria, I hope to meet her someday. I don't know. She said, it went around at Christmas time. What everybody's thankful for there in England. Everybody said what they're thankful for. And she said, I thank God for the letter M. Ma'am, what your highness or whatever you call her, your majesty, why are you thankful for the letter M? She said, because the scriptures say not many noble. Doesn't say not any noble are called. Maybe she was a babe, I don't know. And for the joy, Lord's hid these things. And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. For the joy he sells all he has and buys the field. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. You see the theme? You see this is about this chapter? Down in verse 47, it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Now, out of all these parables, there's a lot to be said about them, the order and everything. But the one that caught my eye ever since Wednesday, y'all remember Wednesday's message? But ye see me, but ye see me. There was one that caught my eye. It was the one of the pearl. Man saw a pearl. Do you see a pearl? Look here in verse 45. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who's speaking? Christ is speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Who's he speaking to? Not everybody. Not everybody. He's speaking to those who have ears to hear. I wish the Lord teach me that, settle my heart on it. Those that have ears to hear, they'll hear. Those that have eyes that want to see, they'll stay open. He'll keep them open. He's speaking to those that have ears. What's the subject? What the kingdom of heaven is like. What are each of these parables pointing to? The work of God in and for sinners. What the kingdom of heaven is doing, coming down to us right now, what it's doing in our hearts on this earth, and what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like to come. That's all in one sentence. You get that? That's a compound sentence with a colon separating two verses. God's words are mighty. They're unfathomable, ain't they? It says in verse 45 again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man. Who's the merchant man? You know that word? It doesn't just mean somebody that buys and sells. The word means a traveling man that does business. You traveling man? Long time. I'm a traveling man. More than one sense. Sojourning. Sojourning is another way of saying that, isn't it? People say that. I've seen few that mean it. I'm just passing through this pulpit. Ain't that funny? We cling to the things of this earth so much that there ain't no blood left in our knuckles. Our fingers are so tight. I do. Maybe somebody else does too, don't they? Who's this traveling person? Christ. He traveled a great distance, didn't he? Where'd he go from and to? He went from his throne, rightful place and glory, to this sin-cursed earth. He traveled. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Seeking. What was he seeking? The Lord looked down from heaven, didn't he? Upon the children of men to see if there were any that understood. If somebody had to understand, they got all kinds of knowledge. Anybody understand? How can they unless a man come tell them? Huh? See if anybody says that if any sought God, he sought to see if they were seeking him. What did he see? We read this somewhere else there in Genesis 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he said, I'm going to burn it all up. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was seeking. He found Noah, didn't he? Look here in verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl, he was seeking goodly pearls, and there ain't none. We say, Nathaniel, there's an Israelite indeed, and ain't no guile in him. He found one pearl. I might have told you this before. Salvation's one-on-one. You get that? I'm going to keep saying it, though, until it sinks in. You may not remember I said it, and that's fine. Salvation's one-on-one. Who did the seeking and the finding? David said there in Psalm 53, he said, none sought God. None sought after him. This is the Redeemer seeking his own, one at a time, one-on-one. Not for somebody else, not through the ears of somebody else. He seeks his own, one at a time. Over in Luke 15, he said he spake a parable unto them, saying. The Lord had a lot of parables, didn't he? I was told years ago, a man said, I don't think preachers ought to use illustrations. And I was like, well, my Lord preached them parables. I think it's all right for me to explain it. He explained them too. He spake a parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that lost one until he find it? One at a time. One-on-one. Somebody called and asked me how many people they had to have assembled for me to preach. I need two people. Me and somebody there. I look them dead in the eye and say, I pray God save somebody today. Don't make them mad. They might be paying attention to me. Text says there in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, it was beautiful to him, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let me read some scripture to you. Let me tell you what God's word says. John told us this. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son to the world. He didn't send 10%. He didn't send half of them. He didn't send 99%. He sent his only. That's all. His begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. I love Jesus. Bumper stickers all over the place. Every day there won't be no bumpers. I'm glad for that. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Sent him to be the payment. Sent him to sell himself to be the acceptable bloody sacrifice. Mercy seat. Atonement. The propitiation. He gave himself, didn't he? Paul wrote this. He said, he that spared not his own Son. Not he that gave 99% of his own Son. He spared not. He gave all of himself. He spent himself. Do you get that? He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. How are we justified? Because he was sent and he gave himself for his sheep. And we're his. Who? Those that have ears to hear. Those that have open eyes to see. Ain't it? What? Know ye not your body? My dad always said, I know my body. He couldn't say body. There's an eye in there or something. He'd go, doc says, fine. He said, I know my body. Do you know your body? You know when you hurt and what it feels like? I don't know when you hurt and what it feels like. We know ours. He said, no, know not you that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Don't you know? I don't. What are you talking about, Paul? You don't know? You know that. It's your body. It's your mind. Your heart's in you. You have God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. I know I'm not my own. I know I'm bought with a price, and I got some inkling of what that price was. It was the blood of God. That ain't something to go flip it and throw around, is it? Peter said this, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, of silver and gold, and those vain conversations. That's brutal. If God makes somebody hear it. Your vain conversations received by traditions of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, without sin. And we're just a piece of sand found in a clam. Ain't nothing. Rough, right? That's how you tug good pearls. You know that? The pearls you wear. I didn't know you wear it warm today. You take fake ones, rub them on your teeth, it's smooth. You take real ones, rub them on your teeth, it's gritty. You gritty? Or are we just sweeter than sugar? We're a pearl. He shed his blood for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hang on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto Gentiles. Old Gentile dogs. Old Gentile pearls. Used to, diamonds and lobsters were prostitutes in this nation back in the 1800s. You know that? Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. When the Lord says, I was reading in Proverbs this morning, only. Contention comes only by pride. If there's any contention, any disagreement, any feelings hurt, any offending, anything, comes only by pride. Now, when God says only, what do you think he means? You say, well, most of the time or some, you know, yeah, it's a good rule of thumb. It means only. When God says all, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. When he says all, he sold all that he had. What does he mean by all? Unimaginable. God turned his back on God for a gritty piece of sand, gritty piece of dirt, earth. He gave all. Isn't that what the scriptures say too? Though he was rich, for our sakes, we that have eyes to see, eyes that's been opened, ears that's been opened. Though he's rich for our sakes, he became poor. He wasn't made poor. I typed that out originally and I went and looked it up. That was wrong. He became poor. Willingly. He became poor. That we, through his poverty, through him giving A-double-L all, we might be made rich. How are we made rich if we're just an old pearl? We're his. Well, that don't sound like gold streets. Who cares? It ain't important to them people. It's dead. Dead. They don't care. I can shoot the barbed arrows of the gospel straight into a dead man's heart and they don't flinch because there's no life in them. But to you who are alive, you who have been bought, what's our inheritance? You're his. Ha! Sons, we're daughters. That's life changing. That's life changing. Because it's a new life. A new creation. Now, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ seeking his people, him finding his people, him giving all of himself for his people, him laying down his life for his friends, for his sheep, willingly, and buying them for his own, the ugly ones, have nothing in them. He found it. What'd that pearl look like? I'm thankful we ain't told. It was of great price to him. Isn't it? He said it's pretty. Don't you call something unclean God called clean. Now, what about me and you? What about me and you? What else does this text tell us about the kingdom of heaven? Context is what Christ does for his people, but this applies to us, don't it? That's us. Peter said, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Not to everybody. Not to those that agree with theology. You take your theology and have at it. I'll take him. He's precious. Isn't it? Christ is our one pearl of great price. If he is. If he's given us eyes to see and ears to hear. He's everything. When I got some other more important, something important's coming up, then that's what's important. What you put your time in, what you put your heart on, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where you put your time, where you put your effort, where you put your worry, where you put your concern, your effort, your prayer, that's where your heart is. For the believer, Christ has made our one pearl, and he's of great price, isn't he? That rich young ruler, he asked, what must I do to inherit life? And he said, you know the commandments. You know these. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother. And he said, I've observed this from my youth. He was righteous. He kept a law, didn't he? And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He told him the truth. And he said, you lack one thing. You go sell whatsoever thou hast, and you give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. It ain't going to be fun. It ain't going to be, we'll see it next hour. When you get to the house of Bethel, people's going to die. Sometimes God kills people to bring his people to the house of Bethel, to the house of God. And he went away sad. He grieved because he had great possessions. What he had? Well, he was rich. And he was young. He had youth. He had power. He was a ruler. And you know what else he had? He says it right there. He has a righteousness. He picked the right gospel. He read the right books. He tithed the right amount. He did this, he did that. He put Bibles in the right place. He prayed for the right things. He had a prayer list this long. You ever seen me read from a prayer list? It's on purpose. I'm here to be a good example for you. People don't care about my example. I told you plainly and you ignored it. He had all those things and he was sad because he won't give himself, did he? What do we sell off for Christ? What do we give away for that one pearl great price? He said, Matthew 10, here's the cost of discipleship. Here's the terms of surrender. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not. Well, they're just persistent. Mommy, now I got to keep mommy and daddy happy. I got to go to church where mommy and daddy goes to. Or my son, I just got to move in with my son. It's just, he just won't let up. And there's no gospel church there. And I just, what'd God say? I want to warn people before they die, Bob. I'll sit back like Jonah one day and eat my ice cream and say, I told you. Until then, I got work to do. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Boy, this is my life. This is my passion. It's woodworking or whatever. I don't know. Fill in the blanks. Fishing or desert four-wheeling or something. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Forsake all. Take up your cross, follow me. Cross means you're going to die. You're going to die to this world. A gospel that costs you nothing is worth nothing. A gospel that costs you nothing is worth nothing. Now, Kevin, are you saying you're going to have to work or give? No, I'm not talking about that. If we don't have to cast away all of our worldly things, if we don't have to cast away our pride and our righteousness and our good thinking and our good deeds and all this junk that's filthy rags, used menstruation cloths. One day I'll get to steam up to say it in modern vernacular. That's what it is. Do we count that? Do we count it as done? When all those years of church and it was just so good and it was done. It's poop. Or is it not? God's people say it is. What profitable? He says it shall not profit my people. Is he lying? Or do you know better than God? I'm going to give you an old illustration. And this sums it up well. That's what got me hooked. A man went to buy some pearls one time, and he found the perfect one. He fell in love with that pearl. That's what the Lord did for us. He loved that pearl, and he loved him to the end. And I'm my beloved's. I'm his possession. And my beloved's mine. You get that? Man went and saw, he found a pearl, and he fell in love with that pearl. And he asked the owner of that store, he said, how much is this pearl? And he said, I'll take all that you got. Whatever you got on you. That's how much it is. And so he looked in his wallet, and he said, I got $200. He said, I'll give you $195. He said, what? No, I said all. You want this pearl, you're going to have to give all. And he said, why you keep $5? He said, well, I got to put gas in my car. Oh, you got a car? I didn't know you had a car. I'll need that car. You give me the keys. And he said, why? How am I going to get to my business? Oh, you got a business? You give me the keys to that business. Oh, man, I really want this pearl. You're about to find out how valuable that pearl is to this man, ain't you? And he said, well, if I don't have a business, how am I going to pay for my house? Oh, you got a house? Give me the keys to your house. There won't be a roof. Here's where it gets me. I hope I can do it without just crying. There won't be a roof over my children's head. Oh, you got children? You give me your children. Lot gave his children, his two daughters, for the gospel, didn't he? I can enter into that a little bit. That was the last thing. Did he give it that? Give you children. Give you children. You want this pearl? So it'll cost you everything. That man wept. He said, it's yours. Give me the pearl. Take it all. He started walking out of that store, and the merchant called to him and said, oh, hold on. Got some better news. That's the good news. You got the pearl. That's life eternal. That's better news. You take that pearl, but you keep everything you already have. You keep it all. You keep it all. But you remember, everything that you have is mine. You got the pearl, and everything you got's mine. You hear that? If my friends come to town and they want to borrow that car you put $5 worth of gas in, you give my car. Ain't your car. It's on loan to you. Give them that car. If someone you know needs a job at that business of yours, that ain't your business. That's my business. It's my friend. You hire him and you pay him top dollar. Ain't your business. That's my friend. One of my people comes by your house. You put them up, you feed them, and you don't give them ramen noodles. You feed them the best food you got. Because they're my friends, and that's my food you're eating in my house. If I take one of my children back to myself, because they're mine now, you say it's right. Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. He said this after he rent his mantle and he shaved his head and he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. He didn't say, oh, hello, Father. He wasn't some squeaky Christian. He was a man of God. And he dressed appropriately to worship God and he fell down and he hid his face. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I returned there. The Lord gave, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all that, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God with folly. Well, how could you be hurt as much as you're hurt? That ain't right. Hogwash, God did it. He's right. Mankind's fools. And if he takes one of my children, they're his. They're on loan. Whatever he did. I got the pearl. And all this. And all this. What's he worth to you? Paul said, know, and brethren, your election of God. Paul knew they were God's elect. Remember when I talked about feeding my dinosaurs last week? My chickens. Don't ever difference between an elephant and a chicken. Know, and brethren, your election of God. Our gospel came to you not in word only. You didn't just memorize a bunch of scripture. It came in power. The lights got turned on. And in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, he became followers of us, not followers of others. Of us. And you received the word and you were examples. You walked through this world, Macedonia and Achaia, like people believed God. And from you sounded out the word. You supported the gospel in your, you went out and got a job. You did anything it took to support the gospel in your local community. And you made sure that you saved up some more to support the gospel abroad. You sent it out. Sent out the word. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had in you, how you turned to God from idols. You turn from that old junk. You sell it. We don't sell it, do we? We'll see that in another week there with Jacob. Bury it. We'll read over in Acts, them sons of Sceva. Then people took their curious art. Well, that art sure is curious. They burned it. It was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Why? So nobody else got it. Jacob took those idols of Rachel. They buried them underneath the tree so nobody else find them. We don't sell it to somebody else. We don't give a false gospel. So we don't encourage people to go listen to wrong things. God's people don't. Stop it if you do. Burn it. Give it away or bury it, don't we? We turn or burn. Turn from your idols to serve the true and living God, and you wait from the God from heaven. Chicken and pig were walking along, both of them said, I'm hungry. And there's a restaurant they walked past and said, ham and eggs. And that chicken said, let's go in and eat. And the pig said, whoa, hold on now. He goes, for you, it's only a contribution. For me, it's total commitment. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's the whole of you. A-double-L. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We've been given the pearl. Is there anything unreasonable that could be asked of us? What's worth more? If he's precious, nothing's worth more. Nothing is it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this hour. Lord, open the eyes of your people. Open ears of your people. And let us see Christ and hear of this good news, Lord. And his love for us and him giving his life for us. And while we're still enemies, while we're sinners, stir up that love within us. Make that our motivation for everything, Lord. Make his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, our one desire. And give us the patience to deal with those that are dead. Lord, give us tender hearts, knowing that we too live with our eyes closed and our ears shut. a long time. Give us that grace, Lord, to be patient, long-suffering to those that are not yet yours. Forgive us. Forgive us for clinging to everything in this world. Break us, Lord, at all cost, that we may win Christ. Because of him, we ask this, and we trust your word. Amen. All right. I was shooting for 20 minutes. I didn't do it.